All right. It is not morning, it's afternoon. Good afternoon. We have been focusing on names of God. And so So I'm focusing on the Lord is my shepherd. Today we're going to talk about the Lord is my shepherd. And I am taking a lot of information from this book, Praying the Names of God by Ann Spangler. I used that before on the other lesson. I'm also going to be using W. Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, on some information I thought was interesting. A lot of scripture, and So, the Lord is my shepherd. In Hebrew, that is Yahweh Roi. The Lord is my shepherd. So, got all these markers in my book. Okay. So, why was God or the Lord referred to as shepherd? What is the significance of that? And it has to do with the people's experience at that time and who the people were, the Hebrews. And for at least part of their history, the Hebrews were a nomadic people who wandered from place to place seeking pasture for their herds of sheep, goats, and cattle. To sustain their livelihood, it was vital for shepherds to keep their animals from straying, protect them from thieves and wild animals, and provide them with plentiful pastures. In the ancient Near East and in Israel, shepherd eventually became a metaphor for kings. The Hebrew scriptures speak of God as a shepherd of his people and apply this image to religious leaders as well. The New Testament presents Jesus as the good shepherd who protects the lives of his sheep by forfeiting his own life. So thinking about some key names in the Old Testament that we would remember, Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and David were all shepherds. So we're going to read through the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is My Shepherd. And before I do that, written by David, but where he was coming from as a shepherd himself. In 1 Samuel 17, 34. So David went to Saul, and when they were battling with the Philistines, and no one would come against Goliath, and David, this little shepherd boy, goes to Saul and says, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them." So he's telling Saul, "I can do it. I've been a shepherd. I know how to defend sheep, my sheep." So, okay, so I'm going to read through the 23rd Psalm, and then we'll be talking more about this. But and with my first graders, this for 20 years taught them each class, "The Lord is my shepherd," and we would learn it together, and we would do sign, my kind of improvised sign language with it, you know. And I think I'm going to do that right now as I talk through it. But it was wonderful. At the end, the kids would get up on stage and would do this. And I think, oh, my gosh, God, if they just get hold of this, you know, for life. So, all right. So, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, 23rd Psalm.
Amen.
Amen. When I was going through this and reading this again, I realized, and I mean, it's like it's right there, but I realized the first part of the psalm is David talking about the Lord. And he's talking about his intimate relationship with the Lord. But the Lord is in the third person. He's talking about him. But when you get to... He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And it becomes, he's talking to God then, the second person in second person. And I just thought, it just shows the intimacy of David's relationship with God. And I loved that. So thinking about going back to just shepherd and sheep, you know, the shepherd and the sheep. And this gal wrote some interesting things about sheep, said, according to scientists, sheep have gotten a bad reputation for being, shall we say, less than brilliant. In fact, it appears that sheep are fairly intelligent creatures. They only seem stupid because they're afraid of just about everything. So the sheep goes off the path and the shepherd has to bring them back on the path. I mean, doing all these kind of crazy things. She says, what's so scary about being a sheep? For one thing, sheep taste good, especially to wolves and other wild animals who love to prey on them because they're defenseless. To make matters worse, sheep are fairly good at getting lost. I hear that. And when they get wet in a river or pond, their wool can get so soaked and heavy that they easily drown. Close to shearing time, sheep can become so top-heavy that they may fall over and not be able to get up, making them easy targets for predator birds. Sheep, it seems, are tragedy waiting to happen. It's little wonder that their sense of vulnerability, and I don't know about you, but I feel so vulnerable at times. Their sense of vulnerability sometimes leads to panic and woolly-brained behavior. And I can so relate. As God calls us his sheep, you know? We need a shepherd, just like the sheep need a shepherd. So, all right, let me see where. 187, okay, I'm going to read a few scriptures here. This is from Isaiah 53, 6 and 7. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And then Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. He does that for us. Isaiah 40:10-11. And I love this because, I mean, these all, well, not Revelations, but these the other scriptures, they're from the Old Testament. And they're writing about God the Father being their shepherd. And so Isaiah 40:10-11. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. From the beginning of time, God has been humanity's shepherd. All right, let's see. Ezekiel 34:15-16. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Okay. So I want to, read again, the Lord is my shepherd. And then I want to talk some about his rod and his staff that comforts us and what that is. And that's what this Philip Keller talks about. So Psalm 23 again, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I went to this book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And this Philip Keller, he grew up and lived in East Africa. He was neighbors with shepherds that resembled those in the Middle East. So he watched shepherding going on all the time. And then for 8 years, he himself was a sheep owner and rancher. And then later, he became a lay pastor of a community church. And all that he had learned about being a shepherd, then he taught to his flock, the community church, which is really neat. So he has a lot of hands-on experience on being a shepherd. And relationship with God in that. First, I'm going to talk about the rod. In the Middle East, the shepherd carries only a rod and staff. Each shepherd boy, from the time he first starts to tend his father's flock, takes special pride in the selection of a rod and staff exactly suited to his own size and strength. Now, this man likens the rod, Philip Keller likens the rod to the Word of God. So in thinking about how this shepherd picks the, gets a sapling and prepares it and exactly suited to his own size and strength, I just keep that in mind, the Word of God. He goes into the bush and selects a young sapling which is dug from the ground. This is carved and whittled down with great care and patience. The enlarged base of the sapling, where its trunk joins the roots, is shaped into a smooth, rounded head of hard wood. The sapling itself is shaped to exactly fit the owner's hand. After he completes it, the shepherd boy spends hours practicing with his club, learning how to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. It becomes his main weapon of defense for both himself and his sheep. The rod was, in fact, an extension of the owner's right arm. It stood as a symbol of his strength, his power, his authority in any serious situation. The rod was what he relied on to safeguard both himself and his flock in danger. And it was furthermore the instrument he used to discipline and correct any wayward sheep that insisted on wandering away. It was not used to hit the sheep over the head, though. So, you know, I don't know if you're thinking of that, but that's not what that rod was used for. Okay. But it spoke of authority, and so like God's authority, the rod, God's authority. And this is interesting. It was recalled how when God called Moses, the desert shepherd, and sent him to deliver Israel out of Egypt from under Pharaoh's bondage, it was his rod that was to demonstrate the power vested in him. It was always through Moses' rod that miracles were made manifest, not only to convince Pharaoh of Moses' divine commission, but also to reassure the people of Israel. The rod, therefore, speaks of the spoken word, the expressed intent, the extended activity of God's mind and will in dealing with men. And I thought, wow, I hadn't just the idea. When Moses used his rod, it was like God, that was God's authority. It's as we would use the Word of God, God's authority. And then I'll talk about that further as I continue on, but how Jesus used the Word of God constantly, you know. So the rod shows the authority. The rod also is used by the shepherd for the welfare of his sheep, namely that of discipline. If the shepherd saw a sheep wandering away on its own or approaching poisonous weeds or getting too close to danger of one sort or another, the club would go whistling through the air to send the wayward animal scurrying back to the bunch, to safety, back where he belongs. It is a word of God that comes swiftly to our hearts, that comes with surprising suddenness to correct and reprove us when we go astray. It is the Spirit of the living God using the living word that convicts our conscience of right conduct. Another interesting use of the rod is in the shepherd's hand was to examine and count the sheep. And you've heard the term under the rod, a sheep passing under the rod, was one which had been counted. So the sheep that passed under the rod was one that had been counted and looked over with great care to make sure all was well with it. As each as each animal comes out of the corral and through the gate, it is stopped by the shepherd's outstretched rod. He opens the fleece with the rod. He runs his skillful hand over the body. He feels for any sign of trouble. He examines the sheep with care to see that all is well. This is what was meant in Psalm 139, 23, and 24, when the psalmist wrote, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We can trust God because he cares about us. You know, I think about that and I think, I'm sure the lamb felt kind of skittish, you know, with the shepherd, and he's being examined. And we feel that way too with God sometimes, you know. But he can be trusted. He cares for us. He is a good shepherd. The great shepherd of our souls has our own best interests at heart when he so searches us. And then finally, the shepherd's rod is an instrument of protection, both for himself and his sheep when they're in danger. The skilled shepherd uses his rod to drive off predators like coyotes, wolves, cougars, or stray dogs. Often, it is used to beat the brush, discouraging the snakes and other creatures from disturbing the flock. And as with David, him recounting knocking over the head the lion or the bear that's coming after the sheep. It was the rod of God's word that Christ, our good shepherd, used in his own encounter with the serpent during his desert temptation. And I was thinking about that, how Jesus consistently said, it is written to Satan. And every time he said, it is written, Satan came against him with temptation. And Jesus said, it is written. And he's just knocking him over the head with that rod time and time again. Really cool. We can do the same thing when temptation comes. And then the staff, so the rod, God's authority, you know, used for defense, protection, to examine. And then there is a staff. And the staff is essentially a symbol of the concern, the compassion that a shepherd has for his sheep. Whereas the rod conveys the concept of authority, the staff speaks of long-suffering and being kind. The shepherd's staff is normally a long, slender stick, often with a crook or hook on the end of it. Just as the rod of God was symbolic of the word of God, so the staff of God is symbolic of the Spirit of God, essence of the sweetness, the comfort and consolation, the gentle correction brought about by the work of his gracious Spirit. And you've got to have the rod and the staff. You've got to have God's word and his Spirit leading us in God's word. Three areas of sheep management with the staff. One was to draw sheep together into intimate relationship. The shepherd would use his staff to gently lift a newborn and bring it to its mother if they had become separated. The staff is used by the shepherd to reach out and catch individual sheep, young and old, and draw them close to himself for intimate examination. So the staff is drawing the sheep together to stay together. The staff is drawing us to himself. The staff is also used for guiding sheep. Again and again, Mr. Keller says, I have seen a shepherd use his staff to guide his sheep gently into a new path or through some gate or along a dangerous, difficult route. He does not actually use it to beat the beast. The tip of the long, slender stick is gently laid against the animal's side, and the pressure applied guides the sheep in the way the owner wants it to go. I love that. Sometimes I've been fascinated to see how a shepherd will actually hold his staff against the side of some sheep that is a special pet or a favorite, simply so that they are in touch, as though they were walking hand in hand. And have you ever felt that from God's Spirit, just holding you close to him? You know, he does that. His staff. I love that. Let's see. Where God will say to us, this is the way, walk in it. And we know that. When we have questions, we feel that. And that's from God's Spirit. For us, the actual reality of experiencing and knowing firsthand the feel of his touch, the sense of his spirit upon my spirit. There is for the true child of God that intimate, subtle, yet magnificent experience of sensing the Comforter at his side. Wow. The shepherd in tenderness, compassion, and care, our shepherd, comes to us. He draws near and in tenderness lifts us by his spirit out of the difficulty and dilemma. The good shepherd. So Jesus refers to himself as a good shepherd. John 10:9. He talks about, well, not only being the good shepherd, but I am the gate for the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And I was reminded that a shepherd would often lay at the gate or at the door of the enclosure for the sheep and sleep there at night to protect the sheep during the night, and that Jesus is that gate. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:14-15, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. And I lay down my life for my sheep. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And then Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. When our shepherd safely takes us home. So, and he will. So that is our good shepherd. Thank you, God, for being our good shepherd.
Amen.
Amen.